Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel reading has in it among the most famous of Bible verses, John 3:16. But it's the verses before that that I want to concentrate on and want us to focus on today. And they say, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now, I've often been reminded that in church, we use terms, we use acronyms, we use shorthand that you have to be in the church to know, like LWML. If you don't know it, LWML stands for Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Which, by the way, all the women of the church are members of. And they're welcome to come for the furthering of mission and work and for fellowship. And the mic boxes, those are out there again this week. Did we leave it out, Donna? Yeah, it's still out there to remind us of the mission that LWML does. But again, so like LWML, it's always good to know what things mean when someone makes a reference that might be unfamiliar. Well, that same idea applies to these words of Jesus in verse 14 and 15. When he said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. It's like saying, ladies, come to LWML. You need to know what LWML means, just like you need to know what Moses did if you're going to understand Jesus' words. Now, today's Old Testament lesson, conveniently, gives us the story behind Jesus' reference. Now, it's important to understand that story so that we can understand what Jesus was saying when speaking about the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So, for us to understand that the Son of Man came to save and came to be lifted up to accomplish that salvation, and by believing in his name, that salvation is ours, we need to know what happened. We need to know what happened with Moses and the snake. So, and we're going to take just a few moments and review this wonderfully scary and curious story. Now, the basic facts are these. The people grumbled against God and Moses as they traveled part of their 40 years sojourn in the wilderness. God sent poisonous snakes among the people that bit some of those complaining, and they died. The people then recognized all of a sudden that they had sinned against God by speaking against God and Moses. So they confessed their wrongdoing and asked Moses to ask God to take away the snakes. God didn't do what they asked, but rather gave Moses instructions to set up a snake, a bronze snake on a pole, so that anyone who was bit could simply look up at the snake and live. Now, these are the basic facts. So here's the question. Why not simply take away the snakes? Why didn't God do that? Think a moment. Let's gain some perspective on this question from our point of view. The request by the people to have the snakes simply removed can sound familiar to us when we think about it like this. Why didn't God simply stop the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan that happened a few years back? Why doesn't God simply make it so avalanches don't happen? Why is it that God allows cancer to develop in people, like my dad? Why doesn't God just do away with all those things that hurt or bother or threaten or destroy and cause harm and death? In other words, why didn't God just take away the snakes? Well, one reason God might not have taken away the snakes is so that people learn to trust in God alone to provide for their healing from snake bite. That is, God gives them His salvation to trust in rather than their own arrogance. Now, I say arrogance because they presumed to treat Moses and God like magic genies. They arrogantly thought that they just simply asked God to do it their way. Oh, sure, they admitted that they screwed up. But all that is simply saying, oops, I got caught. That's not the same thing as saying, I'm sorry, and will you forgive me? It's simply asking God to take away the problem. The problem they acknowledge that they brought on themselves by sinning. Now, perhaps maybe this is another thing to think about. Perhaps God didn't take away the snakes so that they could learn humility. Humility through true repentance for speaking out against Moses and against God. This putting the snake on the pole was to teach them the gospel. Remember from our catechism, we learn that repentance has two parts, always has two parts. Contrition, which is genuine heartfelt sorrow for our sin. We talked about that in our meeting last Wednesday. And faith. Faith is honest and sincere trust. Again, we talked about that last Wednesday. It's honest and sincere trust in God's promises to hear us and to forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Our sin is forgiven. Our sin is forgiven as we confess with trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sin. The Israelites needed to learn. They needed to learn to trust again in God. In this case, to provide for their healing from the snake bite. And so they learned the gospel of trusting God for their healing from sin and its consequences. I still wonder, however, did some of them refuse to look up at the snake? Did some of them still refuse to look up at the snake on the cross? The Israelites looked up at the pole, at the snake on a pole, to see their salvation when they were dying from snake bite. In the same way, the cross of Jesus Christ is what we look up to see our salvation. Our processional cross here on the pole reminds us of that. Now, some years ago, I did a funeral out in California. One of the reasons why it stands out for me is that this man's interment was not in the ground, but in a mausoleum above the ground. In fact, he was interred in the topmost tier of the mausoleum. In this picture, he's the one on the far left. It's Richard Carrasco. But as I stood there and I watched them put the plate back over his casket on the wall, as I stood there and watched them put that cover stone on, I took notice of the others, and you can maybe see them in there, that had also been buried high up on that wall. And I noticed that many of them had a cross or other Christian symbols on them. And that, when I was there, reminded me of this Old Testament lesson and the gospel that we learned in that lesson. As I looked up at those burial crypts and saw the crosses there, in the same way, we also look up and we see the crosses here. The cross is high and exalted because it is, as we talked about earlier with the young people, it is the source of our salvation. It's the source of our comfort. It's the source of our reconciliation with God. Now, looking back at the Old Testament lesson again, and our question, why didn't God just take away the snakes? I think there's one more thing to recall as we try and answer that question in a meaningful way. Remember, the Israelites had sinned. The Israelites had sinned. Sin is such a huge, massive problem that we simply often don't see it for what it is. Sin is so pervasive in the world and in our lives around us that we simply no longer see it or recognize it for what it is and its effects. To get a handle on this, we have to go back to yet another snake. The snake that deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. When Adam and Eve gave in to temptation brought on by that snake, then that snake, Satan, gained a power in the world that we are still living with today. Temptation brought by that snake of Satan, gained a power in the world that we are still living with today. The effects of sin are so great that we still have to cope with them through things that hurt and bother, that annoy and threaten and destroy and cause harm and death. It's sin that does that. It's the sin we brought into this world when we fell to the charms of that snake in the garden. We're still living with that result, and so does the world. St. Paul talked of creation groaning with labor pains, waiting for its redemption. And now, that redemption has come in Jesus Christ. And that brings us back to what Jesus said in the lesson today. Only in the Son of Man, lifted up, is there redemption and salvation. Like only in looking at the bronze snake was salvation found for the Israelites who'd sinned. Only in Jesus Christ does the world now have its redemption and salvation. Only as Jesus Christ is lifted up on the cross and dying to take the punishment for sin that we brought into the world, only there is creation redeemed and bought back from the debt that we owe for speaking against God, as we did in the garden, just like the Hebrews did when they spoke in the wilderness against God and Moses. When the snake tempted Adam and Eve, he said, "Did God really say?" Adam and Eve, we took that and twisted it, so to speak, and we twisted it against God. And we said, "We want to be like God, knowing good and evil. And we're going to get it." And that was what the Israelites were doing. According to the epistle lesson today, we were once objects of wrath. And in the Garden of Eden is when that began. We made ourselves objects of God's wrath by trying to become like God. As a result of that, and with God's fair warning, we brought his wrath, which is death, into his creation. Remember that God told Adam that in the day he would eat from the forbidden tree, he would surely die. There is punishment for sin. There is harm and destruction. There is annoyance and death. Death is what has come into the world because of our sin. Not because God wanted to make life hard for us. And so God made a provision to totally wipe away that penalty in Jesus, lifted up on the cross. Now God, as a foreshadowing of the cross, also made a way for the Israelites to live in spite of the result of their sin by means of the lifted up bronze serpent. So, because of that, we now have a greater understanding of Jesus' words today. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Life! Now we get the reference to Moses lifting up the snake. In the same way, we get that LWML means Lutheran Women's Missionary League. We know because we've learned what Jesus meant. We need to look up, like I did at that funeral. We look up and we see our salvation. And we point out to others to look up as well and see that, as St. Paul said in the epistle lesson today, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions. It is by grace you have been, it's accomplished, it's finished, you have been saved. We were dead in our sin. We were snake bit. And God in his mercy saved us by grace through faith in the name of the lifted up Jesus Christ. As he said today, he died to give to everyone who believes in him eternal life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.